You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Walt Clyde Frazier Crane. I'm listening. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 306. On today's show, we're joined again by Ashwin Ramnath of Daily Knicks for part two of our discussion, Miles versus McCall, the Bridges brothers. They're not actually brothers. On today's episode, we do a Miles Bridges deep dive. And at the end, Schwinny and I decide which one we would pick if we had to pick one of them with the Knicks' ninth pick in the draft. Do we both pick the same person? Do we pick different people? I don't know. You're going to have to listen to find out. All right, let's start the show. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Miles Bridges. Some quick background, and let me know if I'm missing anything, but Miles Bridges is significantly younger than McCall. He's 20.1 years old. He's a March baby. He actually just turned 20, so he'll be 20 basically all of his upcoming rookie season. He played for Michigan State University. He did go to the combine because he is not a coward, and he measured 6'5 1/4 without shoes at the combine, just under 6'7 in shoes. He's got a little bit of a smaller wingspan. He's got a 6'9 1/2 inch wingspan. He weighs 220 pounds. He's got 5.9% body fat. That's all combine measurements, and allegedly lost about 20 pounds before the combine. He is a sophomore out of Michigan State, like I said. I guess he's played power forward and small forward in his career there. He was a Wooden Award finalist this year, second team All-American, projected to be a top 10 pick last year in his freshman year, but chose to return for his sophomore season. I don't think I'm missing any background there, right? That's basically the...
No, that's it. Okay. I have no idea why. I mean, luckily for him, I don't think his draft stock got worse, but I have no idea why he stayed another year.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that where someone sticks around and doesn't improve or fall back in terms of their draft stock.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's like, dude, you literally, like, you didn't ruin anything, but you actually just wasted a year of your life.
Hey, he got to be unceremoniously dumped out of the tournament. Losing to a vastly inferior Syracuse team, so there's that.
Yeah. All the Cuse listeners will be very happy, though. Brought that up.
Let's talk about generally agreed upon strengths when people talk about Miles Bridges. Hit me with one.
This is actually weird. I think he's like a very, very divisive prospect. I think I don't think there are agreed upon strengths with him. I mean, I guess one strength that he's a great athlete. Like,
explosive.
Explosive athlete. I don't think anybody can. I think that's, if there is a for sure like strength of his that everyone agrees on, that would be it. Because he, man, some of the, when he gets around the rim, if he gets his momentum going to the rim, I don't care how big he is. Like, he's yamming that shit.
Yeah. Thunderous dunks. And before I knew much about him, I heard there was something, maybe a little bit of a weight issue, I wasn't sure. And then I was like, oh wow, this guy can get up. He's not a ground-bound fatso.
He lost a lot of weight too before the combine. He's at 220 now, I believe.
Yes.
And yeah. I saw an interview with him at the combine. You can see it. Like, he looks very svelte.
Right. And this is, you know, it's just a small window of time, so it's not the same thing as Mikal Bridges, his huge leap from sophomore to junior year. But it does show some of that same willingness to improve. It's a good sign that he, you know, is taking this seriously. I would say, I don't know if it's not on McCall's level, but I do think most people think he's a good three-point shooter, if not borderline elite, but good, I would say.
Yeah.
Last year, he shot 39% on 5.1 attempts, so really good volume. This year, a little bit worse. But 36.5% on 5.7 attempts. So still good volume. Not a bad percentage, but didn't go in the right direction, but still solid. And when you talk about, people talk about his lack of improvement year to year, I think some of that is that he improved in some ways that are harder to quantify. But his free throw percentage, you can quantify. And his freshman year, he was 68% from the line. And he was 85% this year. So that's a huge increase in the right direction. And free throw percentage correlates really well to transferring your shooting ability over to the pros. So that's really good. And I also think he's got two things in his favor here. It's Clyde likes talking about this, and it's a little bit ridiculous, but I think there's some truth to it. He is a crafty lefty. And I think that does throw people off a little bit in terms of just getting your shot off. People are more used to defending right-handers. And obviously, the better the defender is, the less that matters. But I do think it matters a little bit in a game where every inch is so important, to borrow a horrifically cheesy speech from Robert De Niro on any given Sunday. Every inch matters!
The 6 inches in front of your face! That's the limit.
And to close out my unofficial scouting report on his shooting, I think he's got really nice arc on his jump shot. I think he's got a nice-looking jump shot.
No, he does. And actually, so it's good that you brought this up. So, like, there are a few things that we just need to talk about from a team standpoint. So while Mikal definitely benefited from playing in a very pro-style offense, like very advanced for college-type offense, Miles basically got fucked at Michigan State by playing for Izzo. So his freshman year, right, like we talked about, he was good. He was a 58 for shooting. He shot 39% from three. And granted, you know, the free throw shooting was only at 69%. But, you know, there was enough there where you're like, okay, this guy can probably shoot. You know, he's explosive, you know, right? And that's fine. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you look at the numbers like you did, like you said this year, you know, there not necessarily a lot of great improvement anywhere, especially in terms of scoring efficiency. But a lot of that is because of his role changing. So as a freshman, he played a lot as a four, right? That was like, he played mostly as a four. This year, he played almost entirely as a three next to two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, Nick Ward, like, his ass is in the paint all the time. Like, that's what he is. He's just he's a paint guy. So, like, the spacing was just way more shitty. And so, you know, like, you know, I know people want to talk about positionless basketball, but even within positionless basketball, it's not positionless because of offense. It's positionless because you're saying you can defend a lot of stuff. And right. But there are still, like, roles to fill offensively.
Yeah.
And so Miles was expected to play offensively this year as you would expect a wing to play. So, like, a lot of running off of screens, a lot of self-creation off the dribble. And, you know, again, because the lane is clogged and a lot of that stuff doesn't show up in his efficiency. But if you kind of take a deeper dive, as the wonderful website The Stepien did at the beginning of March, there's a lot. Like, there's definitely improvement being made. So as a freshman, he shot off the dribble, jump shots, like basically pull-up jump shooting off the dribble, 11.7% of the time for a horrific 0.514 points per possession.
Woo!
Really, really bad.
That's, yeah.
As a sophomore, he shot 22.7% of the time off the dribble. So again, that almost double rate of pull-up jump shooting speaks to, you know, kind of how clogged the lane was.
Yeah.
So 22.7% of the time, that jumped to a 0.795 points per possession, which is that ranked in the 51st percentile. So not great, mm-hmm. but above average and much better than he did as a freshman, I think is important.
And to jump in here for just a moment, watching some film eye test, because I read some of these reports and was looking at his pull-up shooting, and it's not 100% consistent, but he had a number of pull-up shots that just looked like, mwah, like chef kissing fingers. He had the ability lots of times to just be like really nicely composed, where he got into his motion very quickly, compact, so like went from running to all of a sudden just straight up and down, like nice looking jump shot. So he does have that ability. Obviously, you want to see him do it more consistently, but I think he can and will improve on that.
Yeah, and as far, again, I just want to touch on this because I think this is, you know, there's a little bit of confusion over what role is he, what position is he going to play. So, you know, I think for the Knicks, I think you would probably view him as a three for the time being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, threes to some extent, and this is like a concern I have with McCall, is because he hasn't really shown much growth as a pick and roll ball handler or anything. Miles did show growth as a pick and roll ball handler. So as a freshman, he finished 5.4% of possessions as the pick and roll ball handler, scored at a really bad 0.741 points per possession. That's ranked in the 48th percentile. Sophomore year, that jumps to 10.2%. So again, like almost a double, you know, double the rate as he did as a freshman. Uh-huh. That jumps to 1.02 points per possession, which ranks in the 92nd percentile. And just to put like that, he shot basically 52.5% from the field on roughly 52 possessions. So, you know, these like that is significant. Rather than saying it's not insignificant, that is significant. And so I think there are a lot of concerns about him in terms of can he create off the dribble. And I even with these numbers, you know, there's not enough of a sample size to be like, well, we don't need to worry about it at all. No, it's definitely still a concern, but he did show growth. And I think while the overarching efficiency might not have improved, you know, it's more a function of the shots he kind of, and like he does settle a little bit, but a lot of it is just, you know, the spacing was shit and everything. Like, right. I mean, just my last super nerdy stat I'm going to tell you about. So this year he attempted 27.4% of his shots at the rim, finished those at 65.6%. Like I said, his freshman year when he played more four, 37.1% of his shots came at the rim. So that's like, you know, when you're substituting out those for an increase in mid-range pull-ups and stuff like that, it's going to knock your overall efficiency.
I want to keep talking about his efficiency a little bit, but before I do that, just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. So, I mean, we can get back to strengths as they come up in the conversation, but one of the, you know, generally agreed upon weaknesses of his, like we've kind of both been mentioning, is his lack of top line overall, you know, improvement when you look at, let's say, his scoring or his efficiency. However, a couple of numbers to consider. His freshman year, he averaged 16.9 points on 13 field goal attempts, which is 1.3 points per field goal attempt. Last year, he averaged 17.1 points on 13.4 field goal attempts. That's 1.28 points per field goal attempt. Just for a little bit of context, now it's the NBA versus college, but Victor Oladipo, someone who I think he shares some similarities with, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. I see a little bit of him in there. It's not a one-to-one, but he averaged 1.29 points per field goal attempt this past season in the NBA. You know what I mean? But like you said, he worked on different areas of his game, it seemed like, pretty intentionally and was trying to improve on these different play types. But all the while, he didn't like bottom out. He still had pretty good efficiency, I think, as a scorer. He just didn't have that lead. Like, he started off so much better than a Mikal Bridges, you know what I mean? That I'm not sure how fair it is to penalize him for not taking as huge a leap while he's still, let's be honest, you know, still a couple years younger than him. Didn't redshirt, you know, all this stuff. So that's like some context there. Maybe someone who's got this good baseline can still, you see him losing 20 pounds before the combine, maybe in his age 21 season, he'll make a similar leap, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that he's a little bit trickier. He's way more of a eye of the beholder type thing. I don't think there's a lot of... I think people might are skeptical of if Mikal's, you know, his like more limited upside view, but say floor is what the Knicks should be doing at number nine. There's like some, you know, there's questions about that, but I don't think there's any real debate over what position is he, what is he going to be good at, any of that stuff, right? With Miles, I think there's a lot of differing opinions, and it really just falls down on how you view him. I personally am some, I would probably right now, if I had to do today, I would take Miles over Mikal. I just like his, he's shown more to me as a shot creator. I think that with the weight he lost and the improvements he's shown, like, I think he can play three. I'm not sure he can play the four in the NBA. Because
yeah, I'm worried about him as a four in the NBA. Like, you mentioned that that's where he was better in college, but we talked about this earlier. Him defending bigger guys?
No, it's not good.
Bad. Bad.
He was, like, in the 20th percentile on defending post-ups.
Yeah, and if he can't defend guards, is he? Are you looking at, I know positionless, blah, 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 but are you looking at just defending twos and threes? And is that less valuable than Mikal's maybe one through three with the occasional four? You
know? Yeah, so I think I think Mikal is definitely way better defensively.
Yes, let's talk about his defense, I guess. I mean, I guess, I didn't mean to cut you off if you had a point.
Yeah, dude. you invited me here, all right?
But I'm also trying to, it's a tightrope I walk as host, trying to keep it moving, you know?
No, I see how it is.
And you just ramble forever and never shut up. And I'm like, all right, I got to really get this guy under control. I gotta exert dominance, too, and let people know that's my territory.
You're the alpha male.
Yeah, shit. What were you about to say before I rudely cut you off?
No, I just believe in him more as a shot creator. I just think that when you watch him on film, like, he doesn't have a lot of advanced dribble moves, but he does have some tricks in the bag. Like, he's got the pullback. He's got he can hit you with the pullback and step into a J. Like, he can cross you over a couple of times and get to the rim. Like, he one, two steps into pull up J's, you know? Like, you can see the things he does as a shot creator. And even if he's not great at it yet, like, the fact that he can do those things is a good thing. Like there's, you know, there are steps to improving as a player, right? Part of those steps is being able to do shit. Like, this is something, like, Donovan Mitchell is a perfect example of this. He was a guy at Louisville that did a lot of the shit, like, as a shot creator and stuff, but he wasn't so efficient at all that. And he's actually still not that efficient in the NBA, but, like, he basically carried over his level of efficiency from college to the NBA. So he probably improved as a shot maker. You know what I mean?
Sure. And when you just watch him anecdotally, it's very obvious all the talent that's there, even if he's not putting it. He's a rookie. I mean, you're not going to be efficient, but yeah.
So, like, with Miles, I think to me, the bigger takeaway from what I saw last year was just he's able to create more types of shots now than he was as a freshman.
Yeah.
And playing like in a worse spaced offense, which matters to me more than him playing the four or the three. It's the actual spacing of the offense was just worse.
I didn't watch a lot of Michigan State, but when I did, I was like, what are they practicing? It was just a bunch of dudes standing around, and then one guy would try to drive, and that was their offense.
They practice, like, a lot of grit. just, you know, competing. Well,
talking about the anti-grit, his dribble moves, it is... I remember because that was sort of a knock on him too. What can he do there? And I would watch some highlights, and I started seeing these crossovers. I was like, holy shit, that is a legitimate crossover. This guy has got it. And then I watched some video that one of his weaknesses was sort of predictable. And then I saw him cross a bunch of dudes over and then throw up gross, ugly bricks. And so it was like, how legitimate is this move? Does he know how to deploy it? But like you said, we're trying to project these guys forward. He is still young, and it's, do you trust him enough? The fact that he's shown the ability to do it successfully with any sort of frequency is a positive, although I think it's fair to also question, will he be able to take that next step and, you know, only kind of deploy it when he should? Of course, no one does that 100% of the time, no matter how old you get or whatever, but it's how much do you believe in that? He does have, he shows a lot of flashes. It's, do you think that he'll maintain them and improve?
Well, Miles is definitely more like, where McCall is somebody that plays within the system, Miles is definitely somebody where, like, he's somebody that you incorporate in terms of shaping your system around him to an extent, right? Like, he's not, I mean, if he became that caliber of player where, like, we're building around him like KP, that would be great. But, like, I imagine him as, you know, a good number two or number three option, probably a number three option. But for where we are, he'd be the number two option, I think, in time. Like, I think him and Timmy would be maybe not at first, but essentially, like, on level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the pecking order offensively.
So you're saying you don't believe in Frank is what I'm hearing.
I just, hey, what if Frank proves me wrong, I'm all for it. But I think, I mean, not next year anyway. I think maybe in time Frank will get there, but next year, like, I just think Miles has that mindset too. Like, he, you know, you got to have that mindset to an extent of, like, I want the ball, I want to shoot, I want to create.
I do like his tude when we're talking about, because, you know, in the age of numbers and advanced stats, people do forget that it's important to look at these guys' personalities when you're trying to project what's going to happen. It's like, how hard are they going to work, blah, blah, blah. But one of those things is just their competitive nature, and I'm not saying McCall doesn't have that, because I think he does. But I really like Miles' attitude also. He's really passionate, and you can tell he cares without being a Marcus Morris-style bonehead headcase about it, you know?
Like, no, and I think this is really matters for us, because, like, I think, like, the only person on our team last year that showed kind of passion is, I'm not even going to include Cantor because his passion is, like, sometimes just really corny. But it's like, it was Timmy, but he's like, Timmy just gets, like, really emo sometimes.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think KP's, like, got a killer instinct too. He wants to rip your heart out.
He might be a killer instinct, but he's not, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's something to be said about having a guy that's kind of like, yam on somebody and just scream, and like we haven't had that shit in forever. Like, we really have not had a guy like that in forever. And, like, McCall, I agree with you. Like, I don't question his competitiveness or any of that stuff. Like, I 100% think that he is, like, a competitive dude. But actually showing it, getting the crowd into it, like, getting your teammates pumped up, kind of stuff, like, that is something, again, like you talked about, you're not going to see that on a stat sheet. And maybe there is no value to that. Maybe this is just us projecting it as, like, observers of the game. But I think that, like, I think it does matter a little bit.
Yeah.
It should matter a little bit. No, and, like, I do think Miles brings that to the table a little bit more.
If I had to rank them, I think I probably would rank Miles ahead. But while watching their footage, I think McCall surprised me a little bit, because he did kind of hunt guys. He wanted to dunk on people. It became clear to me. And, like, he's aggressive there with that. So that's, but I do think Miles has it a little bit more. And, I mean, we're kind of taking it for granted because it's so obvious when you watch the film. But he can dunk.
I mean,
he's would be strong. The best dunker. He's got, you know, like, he's not getting pushed around, but that's what scares me about him, because he is strong, but it doesn't seem to translate to guarding fours. But on the other hand, I talk about how I hate offensive rebounding and Cantor's empty offensive rebounding numbers. Miles is a pretty good defensive rebounder. He went down by about one per game, but 6.8 per game his freshman year, 5.7 his sophomore year, and like you said,
three as a sophomore.
Yes. Yeah. No. Exactly. Thank you for the reminder. But I do, when I'm watching him, I think that leaping ability helps there too, and I think he's aggressive in going after defensive reboundings. And if you're going to have KP as a focal point, obviously I want him to improve on that area, and I think that might be slightly overblown only because the team should help, but he definitely needs to improve in rebounding, and while he still has that as a weakness, it is good to add players who have that as a strength on the wing or as guards, and I think that's a strength of his.
Yeah, and I mean, like you just said, like, you need players to chip in. Like, he would be a player that chips in, right? Yeah. So,
which I think Timmy, bringing up Timmy again, he did a good job with this past season.
Right, and like, that's, so like, that's an area where, I mean, it's really, again, like, I'm one of these losers that always talks about rebounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you love it.
Yeah, I love rebounding.
You're right? Like, KP should never play the five, ever, until he can average 15, until his butt gets twice as big.
Yeah, until his ass is big enough that Kurt Rambis approves. No five for him. No, like, I just, you know, that's, to me, that's like a big edge for him over McCall. Like, I don't care what position, Mile, like, whatever you want to designate these guys, I'm 100% sure Miles is going to, at the worst, rebound his average for position, but rebounding is something that usually translates pretty well from college to the pros.
Yeah.
So, I imagine he's going to be a plus rebounder for his position at the three. Like, I'm projecting him as a three for the time being, so I think he's going to be a plus rebounder at the three. What he isn't as good at as McCall is as a help defender.
Mm-hmm.
We had to talk about it. His wingspan is not necessarily ideal for a three.
It's like a little small.
It's like 6'8", right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for just to illustrate that, I'm pretty sure Shumpert was 6'9" wingspan, and he was considered a pure two. Right. When he came in, he ended up playing a lot of, like,
bigger two. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, with the way the league is gone, obviously he plays three quite a bit when he does play, loser. sorry.
I love it. I hate Shumpert so much. Not like actually as a person, because that's deranged, but as a basketball player.
Yeah, and like, and he's not going to get you a lot of steals.
Right.
Miles. So like, while he's helping you on the glass more than McCall, he's not helping you with like the help defense that occurs in a game as much. He is pretty good he's good as an ISO defender.
I was impressed with that actually. I thought he moved his feet really well. He's one of these guys who it's tiring, right? To constantly, it almost reminds me of tennis. I remember the couple times I've played, I would be really lazy about getting in position to hit it. You know, it's like, you got to get there. You got to move your ass and get in the way.
The footwork in tennis is so annoying.
It's so annoying. Tennis is exhausting. If there's a sport that's more tiring than basketball, it might be tennis. He moves his feet really well. He keeps them shuffling. They're just kind of like pinging up and down if you watch him. And I think he's a pretty good system defender. I think he made good reads around like pick and rolls. I don't know. I haven't seen everything, but I've seen a lot of instances where he seemed to kind of switch at the right time.
Yeah, I think he's good at switching. Like, that's so when we're talking about like positionless defense,
he's got some IQ.
Yeah, I think he can switch across positions really well. And if you're playing a perimeter oriented team, so like if we're playing the Rockets, I think he would be good in a matchup like that, as good as you can be against, you know, one of the greatest offensive teams, blah blah blah. He wouldn't look out of place defending and switching across multiple positions along the perimeter, right? Where his switches are problems is when a good big gets on him and that big takes him into the post. Like, that's his issue on switch. Going back to – but when – in screen defense, where he does struggle is when you're not switching. So when he has to, like, fight over screens, or he has a tendency to, like, go under for no reason.
We've seen that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that that's a effort thing. Like, I'm not saying I don't I literally don't know. if that's an effort thing or if that's an IQ thing or what it is. But I definitely noticed when I watched them play this year that he did kind of he went under a lot of times.
Did you happen to notice if that was in opposition to other players on Michigan State? I'm just wondering if it's a scheme thing or
I when I watched Michigan State, it was really hard for me to not want to shoot myself because of how boring they played.
Yeah.
But I was mostly just watching him and Jaren Jackson Jr., okay. who I no longer need to worry about because we're not picking him. but no. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. It might have been a schematic thing. I'm not sure. But for us anyway, like us, you know, amateur scouts, I think that we should just chalk that up as like a legitimate concern.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do think to kind of round out my amateur scouting as defense, I thought he did a good job at avoiding fouls. He kind of had a good straight up and down kind of vibe, use his chest to sort of guard people and not worry about shoving them when they would pull up off the bounce. I think he's a little underrated defensively. I think he's solid there.
I think he's a good defender. I don't know. I don't imagine him being like, if my concern with McCall isn't that he's going to be, it's that I don't know if he's going to be an all NBA defender, but I think he's going to be like a definite value add defender.
Yeah.
I don't know if Miles will be a value add defender, but I do think he'll be like an average-ish defender that can play within a scheme and be fine.
Two quick things about weaknesses, which may or may not be true, but which I saw pointed out online and found some video evidence for. And you mentioned this earlier. One of them is shot selection. He did settle for a bunch of dumb jumpers and failed to kind of attack mismatches, it seemed like, or keep the ball moving. Like, he would just be up against a smaller guy and would just pull up for a sort of dumb off-balance jumper. And I wonder, are you not as worried about that just because you think their offense was so stagnant and poor? And
I don't worry about that so much because, to me, that's something that can be coached out of you at a young age. Like, okay. You watched Michigan State and you had no idea what the hell they were doing.
Right.
Like, to me, that speaks to a lack of instruction or emphasis put on what you're supposed to be doing offensively. And if you notice that on a team-wide level, you're like, what are they all doing? Right? Like, if you didn't watch them and you were like, whoa, what the hell is Miles Bridges doing? You were like, no, wait. What is all of Michigan State doing?
Yes.
And so, to me, like, I think that comes down to coaching. So I think it is a concern because when he has a size advantage, you kind of like he doesn't. So it's weird for a physical guy. I don't think he uses his physicality enough to like,
yes,
like you, I would want to, like, I wish he would bully guys more because he's big enough to like bully smaller wings and guards and stuff when he gets switched onto them for sure. And so that's a bigger concern for me than the shot selection because
keep going.
Yeah, I just mean, like, the shot selection to me shows a lack of emphasis on coaching. The fact that I didn't see a lot of bullying, that might be more of, like, a mentality thing.
I think that is possible. Here's something that secretly sort of worries me. I don't know if a bunch is fair, but I'm concerned. Once this pointed out to me and then I saw it, I'm like, huh. Just his stance. He's a little bit of an upright guy on both offense and defense versus McCall, where you see he's kind of low and he's got his body pitched forward. I'm wondering how I actually just don't know this. I don't know how easy that is to correct. I know I've been trying to sit upright for my entire life and all I do is slouch more and more every single year. So I'm wondering like if that's one of these things that's really innate and hard to correct, but I could see that being one of the reasons why he doesn't bully people as much because he's kind of coming in with this sort of off-whack center of gravity from not getting sort of low.
He's too high.
Yeah, he's upright, he's high. He's not pitched forward. He's, you know, kind of... Does that worry you at all?
I think that's a really good point. And I don't know if that... Like, I imagine almost anything can be coached.
Yeah.
But it's like, how much... To what degree can you improve that?
Yes.
Right? And so... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess in some way the advantage is that, like, he's not that high to begin with. like, but I mean, no, I agree. It's a concern.
Yeah, it's a concern.
And but I guess like I would maybe be a little bit more concerned if it led to him getting burned in like ISOs a lot, but I didn't see that a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it hurts him defensively. Offensively, yeah, it could be why he doesn't. Maybe it's less about him not having the mentality to bully and more just that like he physically isn't in the correct body shape to do it.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Okay. I don't know that I have too much more to say about strengths and weaknesses. Is there anything that you feel we've left off the table when discussing
Young Miles? I think he has upside as a passer that mm-hmm. isn't necessarily borne out. Like he averaged so per 100 possessions last year, he averaged 5.1 assists and 3.7 turnovers. So like he is kind of a high turnover guy, not like egregiously high, but definitely to the point where he'll probably have some of these like, you know, 5-6 turnover games, right? Something like that. But you know, that like, you know, if you want to just look at it in terms of assist percentage, that was like 17%. You know, that's not bad. That actually, yeah, that showed, and like that improved from his freshman year when he was 14.5. Uh-huh. And I mean, granted, it's the 4 versus 3, so he had more ball handling. But like, yeah, 17% assist for a wing is pretty. I mean, that's something. That's like that's at least a slightly above average percentage for a wing.
And just pulling stuff out of my butt, he just doesn't seem like the kind of guy who is selfish and only out for himself. I feel like you talk about assist percentage. I feel like he wants to be a good teammate. I don't read him as a me first glory boy, even though you kind of hope he develops some of those skills a little bit more.
He
seems like a good kid. And that's based on a lot of, you know, just BS, me watching the guy talk and watching him play. But he seems like an equally as good kid, head on his shoulders, right, as Mikal does.
I agree. I think that's something that you don't need to worry about with either of them, head on their grip. And yeah, like, he does get tunnel vision sometimes when he drives.
Yeah.
But he also has demonstrated like decent vision off of his drives. And I think one of the big problems for him isn't so much about decision making as much as it is just like executing the pass properly.
Right. And talking about, I mean, I you know, he's not known for his passing, but you said his assist percentage was pretty high. And he did on occasion have a couple of cross court like passes that he would whip. Not a lot. Mm-hmm. Definitely not a lot. But I wouldn't be shocked if he developed that a little bit more. I think he might have some sneaky vision in there, too.
Yeah, I see more playmaking potential with him than I do with Mikal, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, do we want to talk about his fit with the Knicks, or is that just completely obvious? How do you think he would fit in with who they've got already? I mean, for me, I'm really only worried about KP and Frank.
Yeah.
I liked him. I think he did a nice job, whatever. But you're drafting this guy for the long-term future of the franchise. I only care about KP and Frank in that situation. Do you think he's a better or a worse fit than Mikal there?
It's not as seamless. It's not as seamless of a fit because he is a guy that's going to need touches. Like, he needs to get the ball to score. Like,
yeah.
A lot of his value is going to be provided in his scoring, whereas Mikal, like, his scoring is more of a function of like how the team is playing, whereas Miles will help the team play. Like, he's a driver of success, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Mikal, I think, is more of like a symbol of how your team is playing, if that makes sense.
It does. I just, one thing that sort of confuses me when I try to think about who I want, for the longest time it was Miles. And I think part of that was just my contrarian nature. I'm like, no, everyone loves Mikal. And so I kind of talked myself out of Mikal. And then the more I researched and the more I talked myself into Mikal, I feel like if KP isn't a shell of himself, they're going to run so much offense through him that it's, who do you want around that? And I'll be happy if they draft Miles Bridges. This is the thing that where it gets complicated. But if I'm being forced to choose one of them, I just have an easier time picturing McCall fitting with what they're doing than I do Miles, which doesn't mean that I can't picture Miles fitting, because I can. And I could see it being successful. But it's almost like bringing in another, like you said, someone who needs touches onto a LeBron team. How many touches are there when this is the guy who starts every single offensive possession with the ball in his hands? Now, with KP, I think there's less of that. He's not like a Jokic, however you want to say that, type player where he's going to be the fulcrum and just be like hitting people with pinpoint passes. He needs to work on his distribution a lot. But I don't see a world in which they're not still running tons of offense through him first and foremost. So, and then you're looking for guys like Frank or whoever winds up being the primary ball handler to, you know, penetrate more and be a primary point of attack. And then, so do you want this? Look, I mean, if the guy's good enough, it doesn't matter. He's a three, whatever, you know, like, or he's a four, he's Simmons, he's Tatum, he's whoever, fine. But I don't think Miles is those, like, on that level. And if he's not on that level and he's someone who needs touches, is he the one who's the best fit for a team with KP on it? I go back and forth. I go back and forth. Right now I'm leaning toward McCall, which I thought I would not be on that train. But I feel like that narrative is building up such a head of steam of him being this guy with, like, no ceiling but such a high floor. And I can see why people say that. I don't think it's crazy. But it's become so self-evident that I find myself thinking, isn't there a chance that he's got a really high ceiling? Maybe he does hit on his much higher, you know, Klay Thompson-esque potential. I don't know. I'm so distrustful of when everyone gets on the same page about something.
Yeah, I don't know. I lean the other way. I think that KP, like, if we're going to build around him, we just, like, we also, like, building around a big guy that makes Carmelo look like Steve Nash. I mean, like, look, I'm just saying.
You're not wrong.
Like, I am fine with building around him, but I think that to build around him, you need to get perimeter guys, wings, and guards that can create and that can be drivers offensively. And, like, you know, we bitched about it so much last year, like, oh man, KP's shot distribution and all this and all that and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but like, if you want a shot distribution to improve, and not just the shot distribution to improve, but also the quality of shots he's getting, you need guys that are going to help create those shots and like command attention. And I think Miles is way more of that guy than McCall is. And like, I mean, I feel the same way. If they draft McCall, I'm not going to lose my shit. I'll be fine with that. It won't stir my loins. But
it won't really mine either. I'm more hopeful for Miles' upside, but I just feel like it's not this given that McCall doesn't have it, that everyone makes it out to be. His massive jump, is that's just a one-year thing? I don't know. That, to me, it means a lot. It's not a guarantee, but it makes me much less certain that he can't keep improving.
Yeah, I mean, like, McCall is, he's kind of like, he's like spaghetti and meatballs, you know? Like, solid.
I hate this analogy already. I'm just going to let you know, but keep going.
No, but he's like a solid dish. Like, he's like, whatever you want to pick them, like, he's not going to, you can put him anywhere. You can basically have him on 30 NBA teams, and he'll have a role on 30 NBA teams, and he'll get minutes on 30 NBA teams, right? Like, I have no concern about that. So just from an asset standpoint, like, McCall is definitely a safer choice, more stable choice. You're not going to go wrong with McCall. That's just my opinion. If you do go wrong with him, my concern with him, like I expressed earlier, is more about the system and the team not being good enough to get him the shots he needs. But, like, once you get him the shots he needs, I think that it's almost a dead, like, just a lock that he's going to be good. With Miles, there's more uncertainty because he is a guy that you're going to be like, here's the ball, do stuff.
The thing that worries me is I really see the argument that Miles has more upside, but I think it's closer than people think. And I'm sort of terrified of his worst case scenario. I could see him being a huge bust. I don't think that's likely, but I think it's way more likely than McCall. And well, I don't know like if you should draft out of fear like that, but
Miles' worst case could just be a guy that gets numbers, but like isn't actually like.
I almost feel like it's like Rudy Gay. I kind of just pulled that out of my butt, but
yeah, but like you know what I mean. Like he might just his worst case to me is a guy that gets numbers, but doesn't actually like, but maybe as a starter isn't really helping you and is more suited to being like a spark plug off a bench somewhere.
So do you think – so you think that his potential upside is enough for – as a creator is really what it comes down to for you, that's what you're betting on and that's why you think you should the Knicks should take him if they're both available?
Yeah, I'm betting on – I just think that we're in a position where it's like, yeah, the floor is nice, but like if you don't have the guys that can set the table, then it really doesn't matter. Like you need to get the guys that can set the table. Like, that's what we need to do. Because I don't know. My thing with Frank is I always thought that that was, like, an upside play. So I never really understood the idea of him being, as like, this low upside guy. Like, I wanted him because there were so many avenues for him to be whatever he could be in the NBA. And we still don't know what he's going to be. Like, that's the craziest thing.
He's still got a lot of playmaking upside.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed a lot of flashes last year as a 19-year-old. So,
but with like Miles, I have an idea. I have a better idea of what he's going to be. It's like, how good is he going to be doing that stuff? So I don't know, man. I mean, again, to be completely honest, these two would not be my ideal pick at nine. If there is such a thing as an ideal pick at nine.
And we will, for the listeners, we're going to get into trade down scenarios. We're going to get into what if Trae Young's available. We'll do this a couple different ways, but this
episode... Are we going to call that the James Merceda fetish pod, the Trae Young one?
Yeah, I've talked myself into Trae Young. I've got something in the works, the case for Trae Young, which is going to be the ultimate ratio pod. People are going to hate me for it.
The case for Trae... Dude, that sounds like... A long form, it's like a long form Grantland piece.
Yeah,
just super awesome graphics. You can have Drew do the graphics.
I could do a binge mode where I watch every Trae Young game and just and recap.
Well, have you ever seen those people on Twitter that like watch old games and tweet about them while they're watching them? And it's like. What the fuck are you doing, man?
Like, inmates? Who does this?
I don't want to name any names, because I'm not that guy, but I definitely saw some guy doing this, like, a couple of months ago for some old school, like, Spurs game. I'm like, dude, nobody gives a shit about David Robinson's game from 96. Get the fuck out of here.
Someone left a review recently. I think they might think that you host the podcast, because they were like, curses too much. Talk shit about other NBA writers. I was like, when do I do that? I do occasionally curse too much, but I try not to. And I try not to insult people, but maybe it leaks out more than I realize.
No, it's a New York, it's New York, man. What are we going to do? Why? Be nice to everybody? And
I'm an asshole. Here. I'm sorry. All right?
It's part of us. It's who we are.
I try not to be, but I'm a jerk. And I do say like too much. You were right about that. He said I said like a truly offensive amount, which I think was taking things a little bit too far. But look,
I mean, we're nice to Frank.
God's plan. That's all I gotta say.
I think Frank is the only person that is like universally nice. He gets universal niceness to on the pod.
I love him so much.
Everybody else comes in for shit. KP gets his. Uh-huh. Everybody gets their share.
Well, hey, I mean, when you're that young, it's not really fair to give you shit yet. But give it a year or two, and I'll start ragging on him for various things.
Show some emotion, pal.
Why don't you care? Although, it looks like he's literally crapping his pants when he screams. So I don't know if I can get on him that much. His faces are just...
Some of his facial expressions are, like, so... hilarious, but they look painful. They look like he's constipated.
It looks like I'm on acid. I'm like, is his face melting right now? It's not even a Frank I recognize. Oh, I love him so much. To close the loop, I do feel like Miles has an Oladipo-ish vibe to him.
Yeah, I have no comps for Miles. I'll put it that way. I've been thinking for so long, who does he... I have no... That does terrify me. I'm like... Because usually with guys, I don't like the whole, like... I don't like the whole comp game. But
right.
In my head, I like to think of kind of what archetype of player they, you know, they fall under. And with Miles, I honestly can't think of a player he really reminds me of. It's pretty interesting. And I've talked... A lot of people... I know we've talked about this... like, I know in the comments on PNT, we've talked about it. And, like, a lot of people have mentioned that before, too, where they're... People struggle to come with a comp for him.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's one that I thought of the other day, and I think he showed a little bit more advanced creation, but similar explosive athlete who just, I don't know, clearly was an NBA athlete when you watched him in college. It's not exact, but
yeah,
he was impressive in Indiana. But okay, so I like people wanted us to hate each other. There was a little bit of that. And they wanted us to come to hard and fast conclusions. There was none of that. Although I think I'm leaning toward
gun to your head right now. You're on the clock. You're Scott Perry. You have beautiful freckles
and a sonorous Dr. John-esque voice.
Yeah. Who are you picking
today? I'm picking McCall. It's probably going to change for me tomorrow because that's how I am. But watching him today, I just like, man, he looks the part. He just looks like he's got it. He looks like he's that wing, that 2018 wing. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going with Miles.
Yeah.
And for the record, my draft record sucks. So,
no, I'm glad I'm putting this caveat at the end because I badly wanted Jahlil Okafor. Badly wanted him.
Well, I badly wanted in that draft. Who did I badly want? I really wanted Mario Hezonja. I was like,
in that draft. No, he looked good. I mean, look, and I was happy when they drafted KP. When I first heard about him on the radar,
oh, you didn't boo?
No, I did not boo. I immediately was all. I was like, he's our guy. I can see it. He wasn't who I would have picked, but I got on board instantaneously. I bought the jersey the day it was available on the store.
I was good with it. I was good with KP.
But I wanted Ja, so buyer beware. You know?
So were you like super pissed when Philly picked him? You're like,
yeah, because he fell, right? Yeah. It was they were talking about him being first for the. He was the. I think just the first guy I hear about. I fall in love with. Like, oh, preseason number one. That's my guy. I'm an idiot. Let's go with it.
So this year was Doncic, right? He was your number one.
Yeah, and then I talked myself out of him, but now he's so obviously good at basketball. The thing with Okafor was he did have so many moves, but they were all these back to the basket moves, and now I can see why that was stupid. And Doncic seems to just play like someone who should exist right now in 2018. That it makes sense to me.
Yeah. No, it's 100%. I think I think with Okafor, like, the game just changed on him so fast, and he's just a terrible defender in space, which is a bigger thing. And I think that's the bigger problem than his offensive stuff.
I just don't think I realized how much the game had changed when that draft came, and now so much like, yes, okay, I see, and it's probably going to get more extreme.
Unless somebody can tell me, can point to me where they said Okafor was not even a lottery pick, I will never believe that they knew the game had changed so much.
Right. No, for sure. This is a good way to end this podcast. Like, we spout our stupid opinions for 2 hours, and they're like, yeah, we don't know anything. But it's a good thing to... Hey, we gave lots of evidence. We have presented lots of ideas about these guys. I think we know what we're talking about when we watch them play, but the problem is you just don't know how it's going to translate. You don't know how people are going to keep working. You don't know if they have that innate ability, even if they do keep working. Sometimes it doesn't work out, even though you try your hardest. So,
yeah,
that's the that's the whole thing. But Ashwin, thank you for joining me on this two-parter. Miles versus McCall. Where can the people find you online?
At Twinny Poo. Find me on the Twitter, on the twitter.com.
Find him. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for us. Another exciting Locked On Knicks with Ashwin Ramnath. Thanks for doing it, Schwinny, once again. Thank you guys for listening to Locked On Knicks. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes, subscribe to the show. If you have not already, tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. If you haven't already, tell the guy who sells you your cooler, wherever you buy coolers, hardware stores, Costco, I don't know, tell that person about Locked On Knicks. If they're selling coolers, they know how to have a good time. They want to listen to this podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it all the way down. Always salt the pasta water. And take that for data. Tune in sometime this week. Who knows? Tuesday night, just kidding, for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace.